The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Now, Sinn Féin have confirmed that they're going to lodge a motion of no confidence in the government the week ahead. Mary Lou MacDonald is the party leader. She joins me now. People would say, looking in from the outside, this is just pure political theatre. I mean, what is the purpose of it at all?
Well, I disagree with you. I think the vast majority of people looking on at politics and at this government will recognise the extent and level of their failure. I think I could cite any number of areas, but let me cite just two. In the whole area of housing, we're living through a housing crisis still. We've had 2 years of government, and rather than things improving, things have gotten considerably worse. We're living through a cost of living crisis. Families, workers, communities right across the land are really, really struggling. And yet we have a government that has been very sluggish, very slow to respond in the way that you would expect are suffering.
Sure. What about a motion of no confidence would change a scintilla of that? I mean, what?
Well, to put it bluntly, we need a new government. I've made no secret of the fact that the government we have is out of touch. I believe it's now out of time. They have, bear in mind, lost their Dáil majority. And I think the moment has come to call that out. And for all of us elected to the Dáil, whether we're members of individual political parties or indeed independent TDs, now have a big decision to make. Do they, on the one hand, side with the government with more of the same old same? Or do they take a stand and make it clear that the government is failing and that what we need is a new approach, new policies, and indeed a new government? And I don't believe there's anybody in the Dáil, bar perhaps those on the deluded benches of government, who could argue that this government has been a success story. It's been anything but, and we're 2 years in, and I think it is more than appropriate, more than opportune to call that out. And I actually don't believe that people looking on would be asking, well, why are they doing this? I think more to the point, people would be asking, how is it that we have managed to have such a bad government, so resistant.
Let's look at your own party, Mary Lou, in terms of like where you put your own energies, right? I mean, Sinn Féin have put a lot of stock on this investigation into Mr. Varadkar and his document disclosures to the Medical Association. You put a lot of political chips on that, right? You spent a lot of energy. I'm looking back at some of your tweets from the time. You called it the worst of stroke politics. It didn't pay off. He's been cleared by the DPP, and now this is just sort of, you're trying to cover that over. It was a big setback politically. You put a lot of chips on the table on that issue, and they just didn't come up trumps for you.
Well, I couldn't, again, disagree with you more. The facts are that the Taoiseach, as Taoiseach, leaked a confidential document from Cabinet to a friend. He should not have done that by his own admission. I mean, the facts are not contested, and it was the worst of stroke politics.
But you said the other day you accepted the DPP. How do you put those statements alongside each other?
Well, because I am speaking in the political sphere. Politically, that was the worst of stroke politics. The Taoiseach of the day should not be leaking sensitive documents from Cabinet to a friend or to anyone else. And in fact, the Taoiseach, any serving Taoiseach, should not need to be told that. It's so glaringly apparent.
But you described it as a blatant abuse of power in...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't say, I await the investigation to see what happens. It was kind of an open and shut case as far as you were concerned.
But Emmett, there wasn't a need for it. The facts are not contested. The document was leaked. The issue of a criminal sanction or a criminal prosecution is an entirely different matter. And frankly, is not my business. We're not in the business of pursuing those matters. That fell to the Gardaí, who conducted a very lengthy, and I have no doubt, a very thorough investigation, and the Director of Public Prosecutions.
So do you see yourself walking back any of the comments at the time? Do you see yourself walking back as a blatant abuse of power was the phrase.
Blatant. I don't know why you're repeating this in what seems to be an attempt at some form of melodrama. It was a blatant abuse of power.
Well, I suppose I'm just talking about the language that gets used in the Dáil these days. We're all trying to sort of taper down language. It just seemed you didn't seem to wait for the investigation or react to the outcome. Emmett, it seemed to be Emmett, a kind of an open and shut case.
Emmett, at the risk of repetition, there didn't need to be an investigation on establishing the facts. The document was leaked.
Yes, that's but the interpretation disputed. Thereof is what the issue is, right? What does it mean legally and so
political,
on?
No. The political context of that is very, very clear. You do not leak confidential documents from cabinet. There's no great mystery. There's no shade of grey around that. You don't. Well, particularly as the serving Taoiseach.
The bottom line is you put a lot of emphasis. Every day you wake up, you pick the issues you're going to go with, right? So you went with this big time, big social media campaign and so on. It didn't pay off politically. You'd at least agree with that part.
Well, I don't actually. This is a very strange interview, if you don't mind me saying. I don't know what you're getting at.
I'm just talking about what Sinn Féin put their emphasis on. Well, this is what you choose to emphasise.
I don't know if you followed the Dáil, but what you'll find our emphasis on, well, then you will know that our emphasis is on the cost of living, the cost of childcare, the cost of rent, the fact that people are struggling and struggling badly, the fact that we have a generation locked out of home ownership. Those are the things.
Okay, well, let's discuss those.
Let me finish out my point. We also hold the government to account. That's actually our job.
Correct.
We are the opposition, and the opposition is charged not to go in and sit meekly by as the government fails and fails again. The job of the opposition is to hold the government to
Correct.
Account, and we do that.
So let's go through some of the let's go through a few of the issues that are you've mentioned, the ones you brought up yourself. You're saying they're out of ideas, okay? So what did you think of the vacant homes tax that was announced 3 days ago for the budget?
I think
new idea,
that,
right?
Well, so too was the government would claim the scheme that Darragh O'Brien has introduced where the state will lend home purchasers money for an equity stake in their home. They will say that those are new ideas. I will say that they are very old ideas. In the case of the one that I have cited, it is very much Celtic Tiger, Fianna Fáil type policy. You see, in terms of solving the housing issue, what we need to get to grips with is that the state needs to resume its role in the provision of housing. It needs to stop retreating to the sidelines and depending on private developers or indeed international funds, vulture funds, cuckoo funds and so on, to provide accommodation, secure sustainable accommodation for our people, because clearly that approach has failed. And they should recognise and know that at this stage, but they don't.
And Mary Lou, you've obviously talked about the property market becoming worse. Do you take any satisfaction from the fact that house prices seem to be at least cooling off? So, I mean, I'm not here to speak for them, but I presume their argument would be, they'd be foolish if it wasn't their argument, to say that growth in the prices are slowing down. So supply is having an effect. Obviously, there's other things to do with interest rates on the side as well.
I would say, Emmett, tell that to the countless people who have absolutely no possibility of getting onto the property ladder. I mean, the level of we're at kind of record levels of house prices and indeed rent and so on. And the fact that things are stabilizing at an unaffordable rate might be cause for celebration in government circles, but does very, very little for the average worker, the average family who needs to ensure that they have a stable roof over their head for themselves and their family.
Now, Mary Lou, in terms of the motion of no confidence itself, we're seeing some rural deputies saying they might join you. Have you any sense of how many people you might be able to get? Are you in contact with others? Are you making connections there ahead of this vote next week?
Well, in the first instance, every deputy has to make that call themselves. And obviously, we will be talking to colleagues, you know, across party lines and indeed to independents. But ultimately, we're all elected here. People have to use their own best judgment. And I think people need to be fully honest in their appraisal of the situation. If people think that the government is doing a great job, well, then I suppose they will reject our motion and they'll vote to support the government. But if, like me, and like I think countless others, and a huge swathe of society, if they regard this government as having failed, well, then I think they will support our motion, and more importantly, will support the idea of electing a new government and a government for change. But like that's a matter for independents themselves to make their own assessments. It'll be interesting to see where that falls. I suspect, and this I can only say it's my sense, that the other evening in the Dáil, when we were dealing with the defective blocks scheme, the legislation and the scheme for the mica and pyrite in people's homes in Donegal and Mayo and clear across the west of Ireland, anybody observing that, and the fact that the public gallery was thronged with people whose homes and lives are literally crumbling around them, to see that, to hear actual sobs in the public gallery as this defective scheme was being rammed through by the government, and to see the absolute indifference of those on the government benches, to me was incredibly shocking. And I think if you wanted a metaphor for how badly this government has failed, well, then I think there you had it,
Okay,
there and
Mary
then.
Lou, unfortunately, we're a bit tight on time. Could I just bring you on to Anglo-Irish relations? Obviously, the week that's been in it has been incredible. Boris Johnson, he's not gone yet, but he has signalled he's, I think the phrase he used was stepping down. I don't think he used the word resign at any stage in his speech. You've met him on a number of occasions. I mean, obviously, he's not going to be on the political scene much longer, whether it's weeks or months from now. Can you just give our listeners a kind of a personal insight on what it's like to meet him? Is he as chaotic and disorganized as people say? What was your own personal assessment of him personally? We know obviously the political differences you would have with him.
Well, it's more, you see, it's much more than just political differences. Obviously, I have huge political differences with any Tory, be they British or Irish, but Boris Johnson is a person and has led a government that has undermined the Good Friday Agreement fairly profoundly. I mean, it's an attack on that agreement in plain sight. He's walked away from international law. He brought austerity to the north of Ireland. So his kind of chaotic personal mannerisms, to be honest with you, are the least of our concerns. My concern is and has always been the effect that he or any other Tory prime minister or any British prime minister, what effect they have on Ireland and on Irish interests. And in the case of Boris Johnson, it has been wholly negative. My meetings with him, as you can imagine, have always been very forthright, difficult meetings at times. He's never been left in any doubt as to the consequences of his actions or proposed actions in Ireland, and he's been left in less doubt that his actions are most unwelcome, and that
And in
and
terms of
that
the list of possible replacements, is there anyone
none of
there
my
that you'd be,
business. No,
yeah, you don't see
none
anyone
of my
one's
business.
as bad as
No,
another,
I.
or from your
Well, no,
perspective?
it's not even that. I mean, that's a matter for themselves. Who leads the British Tory Party is now not my concern at all. At all, whoever it is needs to hear loudly and clearly from Ireland, but also from our allies internationally, that Ireland cannot be and will not be the collateral damage for a Tory Brexit, that Ireland cannot and will not be the collateral damage for the kind of power games underway within the Tory party or in and around Number 10 Downing Street. And unfortunately, because Ireland is still partitioned, because Britain still has a footprint for now on our island, we are vulnerable to the kind of chaos and that this kind of navel gazing, inward gazing, English nationalist politics now so dramatically
Okay.
exemplified
Well,
by Boris Johnson,
yeah.
but
Well,
shared by others.
sure. We'll find out in the next few weeks, or possibly even months. We're not
Absolutely.
sure how long it's going to be till we're stuck
Indeed.
with them. But until then,
Indeed.
Mary Lou MacDonald, thank you very much for joining us on The Hard Shoulder. We
My
appreciate you
pleasure.
coming
All
on.
the best.
Thank
All
you.
the best.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy,
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.